just for God, thank you for this moment that we have to dig into your word. I thank you for all the good things that you're doing, and just that we can be side by side with you in the work of your kingdom. And so I pray that you would just accomplish all that you want to in us and through us as your people. And I thank you so much just for that opportunity that we have. So be with us as we dig into your word in this moment, and help it to come to life for us today, that it wouldn't just sit on a piece of paper on a page, but that it would burrow its way into our hearts, and that you would use it to change us. That's our prayer today, and it's in your name. Amen. All right, so I hope this is going to be fun. We're going to finish Colossians today. We're going to, like, send it home. It's going to be done. We're going to put it to bed. And so I'm excited about that in a way, except I have no idea what's next, so that's always a little intimidating. But this is kind of a weird passage of Scripture, and if you've read ahead, you know that. It's basically a list of names. Compelling, isn't it? Compelling. It's a weird passage. I would compare this to if you've ever seen, like, a Marvel comic books movie. I would compare this to the extensive list of credits at the end of the movie. And the reason I specify a Marvel comics book movie is because those are the only movies any of us are waiting through the credits for, right? Because if you've seen them, you know that they always stick like some kind of little Easter egg or some kind of thing at the end. And so you have to wade through the endless scrolling of names. It's like, yeah, I'm really glad that that animator had a second and third assistant whose names I don't remember, but I don't care, right? Just get to the Easter egg. Just get to the stuff, all right? I want to see what happens. I want the surprise. We can be that way with Scripture sometimes. Like, we get to these passages, and there are all of these names, and especially names that are in other languages, and we're just like, okay, I'm just going to flip the page. More names, right? That's how it works sometimes. So I'm going to try and look at these names and maybe try and bring a different perspective to these people, because they're people, right? They at one point existed. They were essential. I'm calling the sidekicks because the people we're going to talk about were all sidekicks for Paul. And so that's why he mentions them in his closing credits, as I'm calling it. Now, Paul is famous throughout history as being one of the primary motivators, one of the main guys that put all of this effort into spreading the good news of the gospel. In fact, a lot of what we have in Scripture, especially in the back half of Scripture, we owe to him. And the fact that he recorded these things and he shared them with people who wrote them down for us. And so that's a big deal. But Paul had a number of people that helped him do that, right? He had a bunch of people that helped him on that journey, that formed him, that shaped him, that made him the guy that he needed to be in order for God to use him. He had what I'm calling sidekicks, right? All of these men and women who made his work possible. And the same is true for you and for me. In fact, your sidekick may be sitting next to you right now. You probably have more than one sidekick in your life. Because the deal is this: this Christian walk is not a solo walk. It's not whistling through the park by yourself, hoping that something doesn't attack you, right? We walk this thing out with other people. That's the way it's designed. That's the intention. All through Scripture, we're reminded over and over again that we need our brothers and our sisters. And much of the work that God wants to do in us and through us requires other brothers and sisters on this journey. So we're going to take a look at Paul's closing credits for the book of Colossians. And I'm going to challenge you guys once again to remain engaged in this, because I think that there are a few stops we're going to make here that God had some important things to say with it. And so we start off in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. How about that name? You like that one? Nice. Our dear brother Tychicus, who is a faithful worker and a fellow slave in the Lord, will give you all the news about me. This is Paul wrapping up his letter. I have sent him to you for this very reason, so that you might know how we are, and so that he might encourage you. I have sent him with Onesimus, the dear and faithful brother, who is one of you, and they will tell you everything that has happened here. Now,
If you're a postal worker in this room, if you're a letter carrier, this is your life verse. You didn't know that, did you? Matt, Bernardo, Doug, are you here, right? This is your life verse. Here's why. These guys are mailmen. These two guys are carrying these letters to everybody. We see that throughout the New Testament. All these letters that Paul is writing to these congregations, they have to get there somehow. So this is the letter carrier's verse. If you want to underline this, guys, in your Bibles, it's Colossians 4, 7 through 9. So these are the first two sidekicks that he mentions, the letter carriers. Tychicus, I have to keep thinking about how to say that. And what I'm going to do, I'm not going to go in depth about their stories necessarily, so I'm going to put the scriptures up here if you want to do that on your own. So Tychicus is one of the guys. He's a traveling companion of Paul's. He delivered letters, obviously, to believers while Paul was in prison. That was the only way that he could communicate with these people. And he sends him, as you noted in that scripture, to encourage them. It's like, this guy is going to encourage you. That's why I'm sending him. So there's his role. And then we have this other character, Onesimus. The book of Philemon is all about Onesimus' story. And just very quickly, he was a slave that had escaped his master. And he was on the run. At some point, he runs into Paul and his life is transformed. The whole book of Philemon is the story of Paul trying to reconcile the relationship between Onesimus and his master, Philemon. That's why it's called Philemon. It's a letter to that guy. And it seems at some point when Paul was in prison, somehow they met, their paths crossed, and now he was sending him back to Colossae with this other guy so that he could reconcile his relationship. But there's something really cool that we need to notice if we read between the lines here, as Paul talks about this guy. Here, Paul identifies Onesimus, back here in the scripture. He identifies him as a dear and faithful brother, one who is one of you, he says. Which means that at some point, this guy had come to know Jesus as Messiah. And this demonstrates something super powerful for all of us. That no matter who you are, no matter what your status might be in the world at large, from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high, our status is transformed when we become followers of Jesus, when we fall in love with him. At that point, we're all brothers and sisters on equal footing. And that's a lot of what you'll see in the book of Philemon if you check that out. So you can read all that on your own. Next, Paul names a couple of the sidekicks that remained to comfort him in this time of imprisonment. And you have to remember, Paul kind of had a lengthy stint in prison. There were 2 years in one place and then 2 years in another, not to mention all of the various stops that he made all along his life being imprisoned in other places. So he has these guys to comfort him in this time of imprisonment as he waits to hear what the verdict will be. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me go back here. So how about that name? There's another good one. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Yeshua, the one called Justice, also sends greetings. These three are among the circumcised and among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Only they have turned out to be a comfort to me. So he names all these really cool cats, Aristarchus, Mark, and then Yeshua, also known as, or a.k.a. Justice, as among the circumcised. Well, what does that mean? That simply means this, that these guys were Jewish. They were Messianic Jews who also followed Jesus as Messiah. And apparently, these were the only three Jewish brothers at this point who had remained committed to Paul while he was in prison. So let's look at these guys real quick. Aristarchus, you can read about him there. He was also in prison with Paul. He traveled with Paul to Jerusalem and then to Rome. Next, we have a guy that you might recognize. His name is Mark. And you can read about him there. He was also called at times John Mark. The Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The Gospel of Mark is commonly attributed to him. But there's another lesson, if we follow Mark's story through Scripture real quick, that we can learn about how God works within our relationships with other people and with our sidekicks. John Mark traveled with Paul and with his cousin, Barnabas, you probably know him as Barnabas, during their very first missionary journey. But something happened in the middle of that trip. We don't really know necessarily what, but for whatever reason, Paul and Barnabas are on this missionary journey, and at some point, Mark quit. He said, I'm done, and he returned home. When it was time to take their second trip together, Barnabas is like, yeah, I remember my cousin Mark, I want to bring him along. Paul says, no, right? You're not bringing him. Basically, he was not dependable. He wasn't trustworthy. He turned tail and ran. I can't count on this guy. No, he's not coming with us. Actually, because of this disagreement is the moment where it's kind of famous. In Scripture, you have Paul and Barnabas going separate ways to spread the gospel. They said, well, if that's how it's going to be, right? So they split ways and they go separate ways. They part company. However, we see here, because Paul's talking about him, at some point, Mark rejoins him on his missionary journeys. He's with him. In fact, it was somewhere around this prison time. And so here we see Paul endorsing him to these others as he sends him. He's like, and by the way, if Mark shows up, welcome him. Say hi to him for me, which is pretty cool. So what does this teach us? This is a lesson, folks, in grace and reconciliation. And I think part of what had to happen, I mean, if you read Paul at all, you get he probably was kind of not easy to get along with at times. I mean, you can kind of read that between the lines as you read through the things that he wrote. It would be easy to understand that people might get irritated just a little bit with Paul and how zealous he was about things. And of course, people being human beings, we all have our issues. And so there's this moment where you had two men who had had a falling out. And that could have been the end of the story. But at some point, Paul decided to offer this guy, Mark, grace. He offered him grace saying, you know what, let's try this again. Let's do this again. And so later, they're reconciled and they actually minister together. And part of the result is we have all of this scripture that we can read. Not only the gospel of Mark, but we have all of Paul's writings. And who knows if we would have had those things in the way that they are if that hadn't happened. So it's a lesson to us. I think it's really cool that God allows us to trace the story through scripture and see you've got guys that we look up to as the heroes of the faith, and yet they also struggled with interpersonal relationships sometimes. But they had grace for each other and they worked through those things. So I think that's really neat. The Lord can heal breaches of trust, especially when it comes to spreading the gospel, because ultimately he wants us to set an example of love for other people, right? If we can work out our differences within not just this community, but within the Christian community at large, and it's a challenge, right? I mean, you have all these different churches, all these different denominations, because at some point, one dude disagreed with another dude. I mean, really, that's how it happened. It's like, this guy, this is what we believe, this is our thing, this is what you believe, this is your thing. You know, we're all still Christians, but we're just different Christians. The world doesn't really get that. They're just like, all we see is you guys can't get along with each other. We need to love our brothers and sisters no matter what church they're in, no matter what they're doing, no matter what things they hold on to. We need to sort of major on the main things is what I would say there. God can heal those breaches of trust. So we move on to this guy, Yeshua or Justice. And you might recognize the name Yeshua because it's the same as our Messiah, as Jesus, right? We Greek version there, Jesus. But his mom called him Yeshua. This is a different guy, a different Yeshua, a.k.a. Justice. And I think that's kind of funny. Number one, Yeshua was a common name for the time. And so I think we have three, maybe four different Yeshuas that show up in Scripture. We don't really know much about this guy. But we do know that he had two different names. And I just want to point something out to you guys real quick. The reason he had two different names is because he had a Jewish name and a Greek name. This was very, very common for men in this time. For example, if you look at Acts 13:9, it starts by saying Saul, who was also called Paul for the same reason. That's why it says it. So the story that you may have heard or that I heard when I was growing up is like when Saul has this conversion experience and he gets knocked off a horse, all of a sudden there's a name change. Like God changes his name and now you're going to be Paul for forever. But it was very common in that day and age for a man to have a name, his given name as a Jewish man, but then also a name that he would do business as in sort of the Greek world because they had to cross back and forth through both of those things. So that's what the deal is here with Justice. I just want to point that out because I think it's important for us to understand that. So another one of Paul's sidekicks was this guy that we've already heard about, Epaphras. We heard about him at the very, very beginning of Colossians. Epaphras sends greetings. He is one of you, a slave of the Messiah, Yeshua, who always agonizes in his prayer on your behalf, praying that you may stand firm, mature, and fully confident as you devote yourselves completely to God's will. For I can testify to him that he works hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And that's Colossians 4:12 and 13. So he's described at the very beginning of Colossians as a faithful minister. This guy, Epaphras, one of the other sidekicks of Paul's. Let's see what we can learn about this guy. Well, first off, Paul says here that his love and his hard work and his prayer for the Colossians and the Christians in the nearby city should be an example for all believers. Check out Paul's description of his prayer, because I think this is awesome. That's really got my attention this week. He's praying that you may stand firm, mature, and fully confident as you devote yourselves completely to God's will. That's what he's praying for these people. Isn't that kind of like the coolest prayer ever that you could pray for somebody? That you would stand firm, that you would mature in your faith, and that you would be fully confident in it as you devote yourself completely to God's will. That's the goal for each of us as Christians. Like, that's the mission statement. That's the way that we can effectively love God and love other people, is to strive to be like that. That's what we want to see in each other as well, right? That's why this is a journey with other people. So we pray that, not only for ourselves, but we pray that for our sidekicks, right? We pray that for our friends, for our brothers and sisters, and then do all that we can to see that happen. The purpose of being someone's sidekick is to help them stand firm, to help them grow, and to live completely sold out for God. That's our mission statement. Moving on to verse 14. He mentions his dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send you greetings. So basically this part is, these two guys say hi. They couldn't afford a greeting card, so they just asked me to stick this in the letter, just to let you guys know that they're thinking of you. Hello. Luke, same dude that wrote the Gospel of Luke. So we've got like two heavyweights of the New Testament that are also sidekicks of Paul's. Interesting. And if you want to read about Luke, he's mentioned, of course, in many other places. He accompanied Paul on some of his journeys and apparently was with Paul through not only this two-year imprisonment in this Roman imprisonment, but then there was a previous one in Caesarea. And Luke was one of the only guys that's mentioned that was there for the duration, that constantly was there with Paul. And I think that's a big lesson for us too. Just that sometimes the sidekicks, part of the gig is just being there for people, especially when they're going through something hard. And then we have this other guy, Demas. Now, Demas's story is interesting to me, because here we see him as a sidekick of Paul's. In fact, Paul thinks enough of this guy to mention him in this letter. Demas says hi, right? But if we chase Demas's story through Scripture, we learn that at some point, he kind of falls off the wagon. He actually leaves to chase worldly pursuits. He abandons Paul. And I think it's interesting that we have that in Scripture. So we don't know if he ever returned to the community of believers. And perhaps he stands as a negative example of Scripture for some. But here's the thing I want to encourage you guys in, that sometimes that's how it happens. Sometimes that's how it works, especially when you're investing in the lives of other people. And we've probably all been through this, where you've had a friend or somebody that you were really pouring into, that you wanted to build up, that you wanted to see succeed, that you were doing everything that you could to help them find success. And yet, they chose to leave. Now, whether it's leaving a church community to go find another one, I mean, I think that that's fine. Or maybe leaving the faith altogether, which is a lot harder. Some simply choose to walk away. And moments like this, I think, can make, of course, they hurt. They can be hurtful. They can make us maybe feel like our time was wasted. But Scripture tells us otherwise, and I think this verse here in Hebrews is really, really cool for us to remember. It says, "For God is not so unfair as to forget your work and the love you showed for him in your past service to his people, and in your present service too." Hebrews 6:10. So what that tells me is this, that the way we serve others is how we show our love to the Lord, and that's what matters. And Hebrews tells us that he doesn't forget these efforts, that these things aren't for nothing. Sometimes they're just to shape us, to make us what God wants us to be. And some of them, we're just not going to know how it all plays out until we get to eternity. But I will say that the positive outcomes, at least for the sidekicks that we have on record with Paul, far outweigh the negative ones. We're almost done here. Chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea, also to Nympha and the congregation that meets in her home. After this letter has been read to you, have it read also to the congregation of the Laodiceans. And you, in turn, are to read the letter that will come from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, that's another nice name, see that you complete the task that you were given in the Lord. I think that's kind of interesting. So, number one, we have this woman named Nympha that's mentioned here. These are the Laodicean sidekicks, as I'm calling them. She's a Christian woman that we believe was living in Laodicea. And she's opening her home so that people can meet there and worship together. All of the messianic Jewish Christians that were gathering and the Greek believers that were coming, we're all meeting in her house to worship. Women were super, super important in those times. They still are. I have a lot of women in my life. They're pretty important, right? But women were some of the very first converts. We don't have a lot of that necessarily in Scripture, but we can read other places that they kind of made it happen. Whether it was opening their homes, or whether it was providing care, whether it was meeting needs. A lot of these missionary journeys would have ended really, really like quickly if it hadn't been for women stepping up to take care of and fill that void and to really be led by the Lord in providing for these folks. And so here we see one woman that's completely responsible for providing this meeting place for an assembly of believers. So Paul says, hey, what's up, right? He sends her greetings into her church. And then there's one more sidekick, Archippus. He's mentioned only here and then like in this brief little thing in Philemon. He's included in Philemon's household in that book if you want to read it. But they believe that this guy may have been kind of the interim pastor or the interim shepherd of this congregation because Epaphras, the guy that we've been talking about this whole time, was on this journey, on this trip. And so they believe that he was the leader of the congregation, but while he was out, this was like the associate dude stepping up to fill that void. So he is encouraged here by Paul. But there's another thing that he says here that I think is interesting. He says, oh, and by the way, see that you complete the task that you were given in the Lord. So Paul's sending some kind of instruction, some kind of code. I don't know what he's saying to this guy other than, I told you to do something, do it. Right? We don't know what it is, but it's interesting. It's like, hey, remember that thing that I told you about, the thing that you needed to do, that ministry task? Well, the last thing I'm going to say is you need to make sure you take care of that. So in Paul's closing credits, we're almost done. He lists like seven people, a variety of people that I'm calling sidekicks. Sidekicks that not only helped him on this journey, but also served others as a part of it. They shaped Paul by the way that they lived together. And in that same way, each of our stories, folks, is made up of lots of people who contribute to our growth as disciples. Sometimes intentionally, and other times without even knowing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best neighbor any of us has ever had, Fred Rogers. For giving generation upon generation of children confidence in themselves, for being their friend, for telling them again and again and again that they are special and that they have worth. It is my honor on behalf of everyone here and on behalf of the millions of children whose mornings you have brightened with your kindness to present you with this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, it's a beautiful night in this neighborhood. So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know, they're the kind of people television does well to offer our world. Special thanks to my family and friends and to my co-workers in public broadcasting, family communications, and this academy for encouraging me, allowing me all these years to be your neighbor. May God be with you. Thank you very much.
I love what he said there. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference that you feel they've made. I've seen that video, I can't tell you how many times. And it still gets to me. You have this one man that stands up at sort of the pinnacle of success and recognition by his peers, a Lifetime Achievement Award for an Emmy. And he deflects the attention where it belongs. All of the people, the sidekicks who made it possible. You know, you look around that room and it's like the cream of the crop of like 1997 television. All these perfect, polished people with their beautiful teeth and their sparkling jewels. And you get this dude that gets up there and just ruins everybody, right? But I think the reason is he just kept doing his job. Helping people understand that they have value. And that the people in their lives have value as well. Sidekicks make all the difference on this journey. And you know what? Jesus knew this too. Mark 6:7. It's kind of funny because the two scriptures are quoting from the two books of the guys that are sidekicks in this story. Yeshua summoned the 12 and started sending them out in pairs, giving them authority over the unclean spirits. And Luke 10:1, after this, the Lord appointed 70 other Talmudim, that would be students or disciples, and sent them on ahead in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. In other words, that's how he was preparing the way. Now, part of this whole pairing up thing was to validate the gospel message according to Jewish law, because hearsay from one person did not count as truth. There had to be another person. Two witnesses were required in any trial in order to authenticate testimony. So I think that was part of the reason, but there was more to it than that. Jesus knew it was going to be hard. Jesus knew that these guys were going to face things that they couldn't imagine. He knew things were going to be tough and that they would need each other, that we would need each other to love each other into being. That brothers and sisters on this journey would be the difference makers, the difference between success and failure, the difference between keeping at it and going forward versus growing stagnant or completely stopping. You guys know that I love comic books and I love movies. And one of the things that I think is funny in comics is how sidekicks kind of get a bad rap. You know, especially in the whole Batman-Robin thing. Like, we always want to make fun of Robin because of his green underwear or whatever, his little elf boots that he wears. So the sidekicks kind of get made fun of. And sometimes they're portrayed as lesser to the heroes that they serve. And even in, like, the Batman-Robin story, there's this one point where Robin becomes, the original Robin, becomes dissatisfied with his role as a sidekick. And so it's all about him trying to assert himself and finally become a hero in his own right. Because he wants to be in charge. He's yearning for that position of authority. But one of the things that I like about stories and comics and movies and those kinds of things is that they almost always have this redemptive quality to them, which I think is just a mirror. It's a picture of Jesus' story. And time again, we see that it always ends up being the person you would least expect that saves the day. Out of all the heroes, it's the guy with the really weird power that everyone thinks is useless, and he happens to be the key, the catalyst to save the whole universe. Or you have these moments where it's the sidekick that saves the day, the sidekick that has the answer, or the sidekick that gives the hero the good word to keep things going. You and I may be the heroes in our own life stories, but we're also the sidekicks in someone else's story. And there's no shame in being a sidekick. Each of these people played a pivotal role in Paul's life. And of course, in the lives of many others. And each of us plays a pivotal role in the life of at least one person here, and probably more than one. Many of us will never know, and this has already been said twice, so I know this is God talking. Many of us will never know how God has used us in the lives of others until we reach eternity. Whether it's through missions giving, whether it's through going out and serving other people, we're never going to know. But our work, our support, our love for others is all for the purpose of glorifying the Lord and introducing others to our Messiah Jesus, our Savior, our hope. That's what it's all for. So whatever role we play in that, it's a good part. I was riding in the car with Olivia the other day, and she was talking about how she wants to get involved in some kind of like act one or drama thing, and she's only done one thing. She goes, yeah. She goes, I remember the time that I did that before, and I came out, and I think I just had one, I only had one line, and it was something about hot chocolate. There's no more hot chocolate, I think she said, or something like that. You could argue, yeah, that was a minimal part, but at the same time, you could argue, would the story have moved forward if the crowd hadn't known that they were out of hot chocolate? It's all about Jesus, folks. Whatever role we play, whatever we do, whoever's life God inserts us into, whoever's life he pulls us out of, wherever we go, it's all about that. Paul closes his letter with these words. This greeting I, Shaul, write with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. And even in his closing, Paul's teaching us something. Because for Paul, the word grace, it's a bookend. He started the book with it, and he finishes the book with it. Both sides of this letter are propped up with grace. May the same thing be said of our lives, folks. May we remember that our journey with Jesus began with grace that we did not deserve. May we accept that same grace for ourselves on this journey, because sometimes we're hardest on ourselves. Remembering that this is a process, it's a journey, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. But may we always offer that same grace to the people that we share our lives with. Loving others into being, speaking words of life, and living out encouragement. Side by side with the people that God's brought us to. Let's be the very best sidekicks we can be. Walking alongside others on this journey so that all may find hope in Jesus. because that's what our lives are supposed to look like. Would you guys bow your hearts with me? Father God, we come to you again and we just thank you once more that you are not a distant God, that you are a God who longs and craves for us to be involved in what you're doing, that the very nature of the kind of work that you're about relies on flawed humans like us. We don't understand it, but we are so blessed and thankful that you trust us. Father, I thank you for the men and women of Scripture who carried letters, who passed on the word, who shared your stories so that we would know the truth, so that we would have hope, so that we would come to know Jesus in a real way. So for each of us, God, that's sitting here and those that can hear my voice, I just pray for that. If there's someone in this room that doesn't have someone by their side, someone in their life, someone building them, someone encouraging them, someone breathing life into their days, I pray first and foremost that you would do those things. And then I pray second, God, that you would put another person alongside them that can walk this journey with them. God, if there are those of us that are looking for our mission, our thing, the way that we can be used, like Amanda talked about earlier today, that thing that we can do, I pray that you provide that opportunity and that when it comes, you would help us to be brave enough to take it. I pray that we would be people that would live lives with open hands, that our hands would be raised to you and open so that whatever you place in them, God, we accept, and whatever you take out of them, we let go of it because we know that your plan is always better. So we love you and we thank you. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray.